Hey guys, it's Nick Bester here, the founder of Best Athletics, and today I'm joined by an epic, awesome, super fast guest, Shaun Aldno. She's South African. She recently is fresh off the Olympic marathon. She finished in just around 2.5 hours, so 2:30 was her time. She was the first South African across the line, not quite first overall, but sort of heading towards that direction, and I put nothing past her. She got a marathon PB of 2:25.08. and a half marathon PB of 70.08. I've got a marathon PB of 2:20.08, so we're stuck on the 08. A few more seconds to find between us. But yeah, super excited to have you on the podcast today, Shaun. And how's things going inside? You want to tell us a little bit about your recent Olympic experience?
Hi, Nick. Thanks so much for having me. It's exciting to chat to you about this. I know you're quite experienced in the marathons as well. I just moved up to marathon this year, and it's been an amazing journey. And to go to the Olympics in my first year of doing the marathon was like something unexplainable. Like, it was just unreal. We really, really shooted like hard for it. But to pull it off was an amazing experience. And I've been looking up or aiming for the Olympics since I was a little kid. So I think you put on quite a high pedestal, and it's like, okay, the Olympics is amazing. It's a peak of the sport. And I think you put a lot of expectation on it. And it lived up to that expectation. I had the most amazing experience. My race was amazing. I felt good out there. I really wanted to like make sure that I enjoyed it. And I think it's so easy to put pressure on yourself for these races and be like, I want to do my best. I want to come on top 20. I want to come top 30, and then not quite reach that. And with my like little injuries setbacks before, I think my main goal was to just go out there and enjoy it. I know how I race, and I know that when I step onto a start line, I'm always ready to give it my best shot. So as long as I go in with that, like, I know I'm going to do my best. So I just want to enjoy the process of doing it. And it was amazing.
Awesome. So your first year of marathon running, and to sort of debut first year, smashing out a 2:25 marathon at Valencia, and then heading off to the Olympics. I mean, that's quite a start you've made in the marathon world. Let's just rewind a little bit. What sort of prompted you to enter the marathon at this time? Was it sort of with the Olympics in mind? And and what age are you at the moment? So sort of, you know, we can work out sort of when you're going to peak or so.
I'm 27 at the moment. I'm turning 28 next month. So I did civil in Spain, not Valencia, and that was in February. So what happened was we decided end of October last year that we're going to move up to marathon. I was looking at the 2024 Olympic year, and I was saying to my coach, I really want to get my 5 and 10K time down on track so I can shoot for the Olympics. And he got back to me a little bit later, and he was like, I don't think we're quite going to get those times down, but I think you're ready to do a marathon. So we were looking at Dubai in January originally, and then I tore my hamstring at World Half last year. So we just weren't getting going fast enough. And then after like a little bit of a delay, we decided, okay, we can do civil in February, and just slowly got things going. I had like a 16-week training block, 10-week like marathon specific, and I didn't know what to expect. I was just trusting my coach on this one, and he was like, hey, this is the pace we're going to go out at. He said 3:26. I was like, oh, that's fast. Like, I don't know if I can do that, but I'll trust it. And I did. I held 3:26 the whole way, and the last little bit was hard, but I really enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, this is it. I love marathons. I want to do this.
Wow. Awesome. 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 I know. So yeah, so you said you did that in Seville earlier this year, and it's so similar to Valencia in many ways. Like, those marathons in Spain are just built for fast running. And I think the thing about those is that the field is so stacked in the elite and sub-elite areas. So there's just runners around you the whole time to work together. And I'm sure, you know, you found that. I saw a couple of Instagram reels from you flying along the streets there. So that was a really, really, really impressive debut. And you must have known then, okay, cool, you know, maybe marathons is what I'm built for. But I mean, at 27 years old, you've clearly still got, you know, your peak years ahead of you. So I'm excited to see what you can achieve. On that note, there's obviously the South African female marathon record, currently held by Gerda Steyn. Do you want to just remind us exactly what that is, and if it's something you have in mind going forward to target?
So Gerda holds the record. It's 2:24.03 or 2:24.07. I'm not sure. I know it's low 2:24. And I'm in like quite a really nice like feeling space at the moment. Like, I think Olympics is like one of the peak of the sport. And I've hit it in my first year of marathon running. And I went to the Olympics and I came out feeling like I'm really just at the beginning of what I have to give into the marathon space. So yes, I am definitely, I have my eyes on the record. I'm not putting too much pressure on it, but I want to try to get my time down. I know I can, and I'm ready to give it my best shot.
Epic. Can't wait to see. I mean, you're tracking for it, that's for sure. But you're not allowed to break 2 hours and 20 minutes before I do, okay? That's the one rule. Hopefully. I'm going for it in Berlin in 4 weeks' time. So training's been going really well. But as you know, marathons are never fairy tales, and you know, they owe you nothing. So I'm going to have to go out there and get it. But yeah, I'm giving myself the best possible chance, that's for sure. Okay, so let's go back to the Olympics. Tell us a little bit more about the race. So I know, obviously, you know, you were first South African overall. I think you said you were between 20 or 30 overall. Were you running for time? Were you running for position? Were you running against the other South Africans? Did you guys sort of switch positions? How exactly did it play out? We're all sort of watching from this side, and the winner, Safana Sen, like, it was the most unbelievable finish. I'm sure you've watched it back. So it was one of the most exciting things of the Olympics to watch. It was obviously, you know, one of the last events, so everyone was glued in on TV watching. How did the race play out? Did it play out how you expected it to?
A little bit better than I expected it to. So it's funny you're saying, like, it's how the sun finished so strong and everything. It's a really weird thing with Olympics. Like, you are at it, so you experience it a lot different way. Like, you're running the race, so you don't actually know what's happening in the front. And you finish and you have to be like, oh, who won? What happened? And everyone else, like, watched the whole thing play out. So that was quite a weird feeling. But being in the race, because it was such a hilly course, we couldn't really go off of time or pacing. So we're kind of going off of feeling. So our plan was to go off of, like, feeling. I know how I'm supposed to feel in the early stages of a marathon. You're not supposed to, like, hurt too much. You're supposed to go through halfway, like, feeling fairly controlled. I knew other ladies in the race had, like, similar times to me, so I was kind of keeping an eye on them. Me and, like, Khada spoke a little bit beforehand about just running a little bit together, helping each other where we can. And, yeah, the group pulled away a little bit in the beginning. Like, between 5 and 7, the ladies surged a little bit, and I was kind of like, okay, I'm not comfortable to go with that then. And the next thing, like, they just came straight back in. So they were definitely breathtaking in the beginning there. And then got through like 10, 12, and started heading towards the hills. And I'd moved into like first as a South African ladies. And I wasn't expecting to be there so early, because I know Yvette and Khada are really, really strong on the hills. And I was really scared for the hills. I was like, we've done hill training here. Like, I've done some hilly races, but I'm not sure I'm quite ready for the hills out there today. And I just hit the hills and I felt so comfortable. I felt like I was just cruising up them, and I was like, oh, I'm going a little bit fast now, but feeling wise, I feel like I'm correct effort. And I think I was maybe a little bit eager, but I think also like almost a little bit undertrained because of my injury. I don't think we quite had like enough base in me. So I'm feeling really good on my training now. And like, oh, if we just had 3 extra weeks for training, it would have been great. But I'm sure, you know, like going into any big race, you always wish for like a little, like extra week or two. And you actually just have to work with the time you have and make the most of like the training that you have in that time. And I don't think I could have tackled the race any better than I did.
Amazing. Yeah, we'll talk about your injury and the build-up in a bit and the setbacks you had and how you dealt with it. But I mean, I can completely relate. I think often I've got to a start line and thought, oh, if I just had 2 more weeks. I know when I did Manchester Marathon earlier this year, and I ran 2:22. I did a 6-week marathon block, and it was a bit of a last-minute.com block. And I got to that start line and I was like, you know, you can wing a lot of things, but I don't know if I've put enough like sort of solid base training with marathon specific stuff. So I normally do 8-week specific blocks with, you know, 8 weeks of like good foundation work before, let's say. But for this specific one, I've done a 10-week like specific marathon block. So let's see if those extra 2 weeks are going to play in my favor. But you know what? I'm sort of in a different like frame of mind this time around, because in the past, I've felt my last few marathon full sends that I haven't been fully fresh. Like, it's hard to tell at the start whether you're fully fresh, but once you get to sort of halfway, 30, 35 Ks, you kind of know whether you've sort of overcooked yourself a little bit in training or if you're feeling strong. So if anything, you want to go in a little bit like, you know, underprepared and almost like in your mind a bit unsure. And in a way that can really like get you going, especially when you get through halfway, when you get to 30 Ks, you're kind of like, wow, this is actually feeling okay. You get that adrenaline buzz and gets you through. So it's been a little while since I've had that feeling in the marathons, but that's the beauty of the marathons. They're always there and you're always learning from them. Okay, so then you were sort of first South African. Obviously, you guys had a plan as a team because, you know, it's a team sport at the Olympics. But there's, I mean, a bit of healthy competition between you guys as well, wanting to finish first for your country. So at sort of, you know, the 12K mark when you were first lady, did you guys sort of did Yvette or Gerda come next to you at any stage, or was it kind of like you found a group and you just went with us from there?
So when I, like, because Gerda was ahead of me a little bit and we had like worked with each other a little bit, and then I got up to her again and she just said, go, Sean. And we spoke afterwards, and she was supposed to be in the race at that point, not feeling so good. And when she said that, I was a little bit nervous. I was like, oh, I'm going by myself now. Okay, sure. And I didn't see them again. So I kind of just hung out with like a few other ladies. And then I was also passing ladies on like the hills going up, which I was a little bit unsure about. But I was just kind of going with it at that point.
We all saw the route profile and everyone's like, it's the hilliest marathon in Olympic history. And, you know, conditions were looking warmer. And after watching the Olympics at Tokyo, where a lot of runners struggled, a lot of Olympians DNF'd, we were kind of all thinking like, wow, like this looks absolutely brutal. Then the men's race played out, and obviously it was the Olympic record, I think, for the men's and the women's. And I know, obviously, you know, athletes are getting stronger. People were super prepared for this one. There's, you know, the addition of super shoes. So everything's obviously a hell of a lot faster than back in the day. But how brutal were the heels or that specific climb? Was it as bad as you thought? And like, at the end of the day, was the course a pretty decent course, or was it as tough as you thought it was going to be?
Yeah. So they set course records on both the men's and the women's. The men's was first, and when they came in, I was like, "Oh, that's faster than I expected." And even my time was faster than I'd expected that day. So I think, like, overall, it was a lot faster. The course was still hard, though. Like, from 15 to 20, you're basically climbing. Then there were some undulating hills between 20 and 27. At 28, you had that really steep hill that we'd been told about. And it was nasty. But we did a 30-second planned walk there. And I think that really worked in my advantage. But this had something to look forward to on the hills. So it kind of broke it up. It went quite quickly at that point. I was really comfortable on the hills. I also... you're expecting the worst. So I really, really was like, it's going to be hard out there. Just be prepared for that. And for World Cross Country last year, it was also in Australia. And I don't know if you remember that, but it was also, they said it was the hardest hills, like the hardest cross country course. And I felt good out there and I hit those hills so well. So I kind of just trusted that. And I was like, my body knows what to do on the hills. So just go with it. So I think the course was one of the hardest courses I've done. I've only done a few marathons, so it's hard to compare it to like too many of the others because I've done some fast, some flat ones. But like race-wise, it's one of the hardest races I've done. I think like in general, sport at the moment, as you've seen like with the Olympics, so many people ran PBs, so many people ran fast times. And I think everyone's just pushing each other to do better. And you see like competitors doing better and you're like, well, why not me? That person can go faster. I can go faster. So I think we're in a really healthy space with sport like that at the moment.
So just to pick up on that point there, so you said you did a planned 30-second walk up that steep hill at around 28 Ks or so. So, I mean, there's not many people that have run a 2:30 marathon with a walk in between. So that's a nice little claim to fame there. So when you did that planned walk, did a lot of people overtake you? Was it sort of like nerve-wracking watching people go? Or did no one really overtake you and your heart rate dropped nicely and you sort of got going from there again?
No one overtook me. We're on such a steep path that there was one lady in front of me that I could see. She didn't really gain much movement on me and no one came past me. The crowds, because we had crowds the whole way along, they were screaming at me. They were like, no, you can go, like you can go. And when I started running again, they got even loud. I think they were just so excited that I was running again. But then like felt a little bit getting going again, like it just broke that stiffness a little bit. in the movement. I'm sure my heart rate dropped a little bit as well, but I was nervous to walk. I was like, should I walk? Should I not? Should I walk? Should I not? Like, my coach had said, do it. And I was like, okay, just trust it, go with it. And yeah, I think I felt worse on the downhills in the race than the uphills.
Wow. It just shows you, like, you know what? I think obviously Olympics is as big as it gets. So you probably prepared, like, of given setback, obviously, like as best you could have. So when it comes to that world stage at the Olympics, it's kind of like, you know, these athletes have prepared so well for it. I know on the men's side, Richard Ringer, actually, he won the European Championships a while back, and it was the most epic sprint finish between him and a fellow German. And he finished first overall, and that was incredible. And I think he finished 9th or 12th in this Olympics. I can't remember exactly. And he said that that meant a lot more to him, finishing, you know, in this position in the Olympics than winning the Europeans, because he's like, it is the world's best. It's the biggest stage you get. So, you know, to perform on that level was just epic. So, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, well done to you too. Okay, so do you want to just talk us a little bit about the setback? It was quite a freak incident that happened. I'm obviously South African, based in the UK, so I follow along on social media, not really in the in amongst the South African road running scene, let's say. But for viewers that or listeners that sort of aren't in that circle, can you just talk us through exactly what happened? Because it looked like, yeah, a freak accident to me. And I was like, that's incredibly unlucky. And then you're obviously doing a hell of a lot of cross training, and then you pulled a massive rabbit out the hat at the Olympics. So I think in running, we all get setbacks, but sort of how did you deal with it? How did it happen? And what did you do to sort of overcome it?
Yeah, so it was SA Marathon Champs, end of April, and I was so excited. It was my first SA Marathon Champs, and I was like, I really want to go for the title and cross that line. First place, feeling so good. I'd won the race overall for the ladies as well, and the tape wasn't dropped properly, and my feet got caught on it, and I landed red card. I twisted. Previously, I've had shoulder surgery, so I didn't want to land on my arms, so my face took the brunt of it. I got a black eye, and you know, the first 2 weeks afterwards, like the first week, I didn't feel good. I had a concussion. Everything was a little bit wonky, and then slowly tried to get running again. Just wasn't feeling good. And then I ended up getting an MRI, and my ab had torn off of the bone, and they reckon that was from the rotation in the fall when I landed. And yeah, it was painful. Like every time I tried to run, I felt like someone was stabbing me in my hip. And it was stressful. I think we were, so it was end of April, May, June, July. It was like 16 weeks out from, maybe a bit less, from the Olympics. And I'm just watching like the time go by, like it's day by day, and I'm just losing time running. I got some PRP injections into the site to help it heal a little bit faster. But we did a lot of cross training. I didn't run for 5 weeks. One of those was a full week rest. And then the other weeks was a lot of watt biking and aqua jogging and elliptical. We kind of went with like what felt good for me and what didn't. Some days it changed. Sometimes I was in the pool for 4 hours a day, and I don't like the water, so that was a lot. I don't think I was in my best headspace, but I was kind of just like, hey, Sean, if you can get through this, like you can get to that start line in okay shape. But it was stressful. Like you don't know how your cross training is going to relate. You kind of like, it's the Olympics. You want to be in as good shape as you can get. And I remember when we were about to start get running again, I think we had 10 weeks. And I haven't run for 5 weeks. And I was like, okay, if it hurts on today's run, we're in trouble. Like, and I put so much pressure on that run. I was like, if I can't run, like, I don't know how we're going to get there. And I was so nervous, and I felt like a little baby giraffe. Like I felt so uncoordinated, and my legs weren't moving, not asleep, but I ran and it was pain-free. And I was like, okay, there's some glimmer of hope. And yeah, we got my mileage back up to 150 in that first week, all just easy running. But felt good off of the cross training, and yeah, slowly started adding in some speed work. And I think we had 6 weeks of marathon specific training. But only 4 weeks of base before that. And I don't know if 6 weeks is quite enough, but we managed to pull it off. So yeah, the cross training definitely helps.
What a story. Amazing. Okay, cool. So if someone gets, you know, injured for a while, let's say, not in that freak incident way, but the cross training makes a big difference. And I mean, it's amazing. Your first week back, you did 150Ks, albeit easy running. It just goes to show you how much base you actually had and how much that cross training helps your return to running. As a coach, I always encourage runners to try and keep that aerobic fitness there during those times. And obviously, as runners, a lot of us just love running. We don't like cross training, swimming, all those extra bits and pieces. But ultimately, you know, if it makes your return to running easier, then it's 100% worth it. And I think, you know, touch wood, thank goodness I haven't been injured for about 5 years or so. But I remember when I did get a stress reaction in my tibia, I started cross training and time just took so long. But eventually it was weird. I started like adapting to it and then I started enjoying it. And I was like, oh, cool, you can watch stuff while you do this. And then I was like sort of missed it in a way. And I saw how beneficial it was to my running. So it sort of opened my eyes as into cross training versus running. But just to touch base on that point once again, when you finish a race, right, I'm sure you've broken quite a few tapes in your life finishing first, but what's the best way to do it? Because I mean, it is quite dangerous. I know a lot of the tape is quite thick, so it's very, very easy to get wrapped around your legs. Like, what's the best way to go about it? And sort of, if you're in that position again, how are you going to not let it happen if, you know, the people holding the tape don't do their job properly?
Yeah, I don't actually know. So as this one was, it was a thick ribbon. There was like no getting around it. It wasn't like it was going to tear. I don't know, because I think they changed their race protocol. Sometimes you like it's high enough for you to grab it. Sometimes they drop it quick enough that it hits the ground. But this was kind of a no man's land. Like it was down by my knees. I couldn't grab it. It didn't fall fast enough and I couldn't have like pushed it out the way. So I don't know what the ideal situation is. It's something I want to learn as well. If you have any tips for that, that'd be great.
I haven't broken enough ribbons in my life, but I do actually host the race where we do have a ribbon. And I think the way we go about that is, well, first of all, just being very mindful of the runner. But second of all, I think holding it high enough for the runners to sort of grab it as you go, because naturally you will grab it. It's most of them don't break, I don't think. But yeah, geez, what a crazy incident, and glad you recovered from that. Okay, so going back to the Olympics and sort of your marathon journey, we noticed that you didn't run in the Pro Evos. Were you, you know, given the chance to run in them, and have you run in them in the past?
Yeah, so I did have the option to run in them. I ran SA Champs in April in them. And I think what happened just mentally, I was a little bit more comfortable in the Pro 3s because I fell at SA Champs. Nothing to do with the shoes. I love them. They're very comfortable. But I've done most of my training in the Pro 3s. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm most comfortable in at this time. So I think I'll do a few more races in the Evos and maybe some of my like later races this year I'll do in them just to test them out. I love them. They're light. They're comfortable. But at the moment, the Pro 3s are just, it's where my comfort level's at. And I was like, okay, I want to be comfortable today. And anyways, they give us like these massive climbing chips. So I'm like, it doesn't help to give you the lightest shoes and then you have to put like 50 grams of climbing chip on. So
with heels, oh my word. And you think, I mean, with the way the Olympics was like run so smoothly, and it is the Olympics, you'd think they would have the lightest, smoothest technology, not timing chips that you'd probably find at like, you know, a park run or something. That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, I mean, I've got the Pro Evos as well. Lucky enough to get a pair. And I think I've run in them once and I'm saving them for Berlin Marathon. I'm going to do my full send in Berlin, provided it's not rainy, which hopefully it won't be, because obviously, you know, they perform best in the dry.
Yeah. So I did notice with Durban, they are extremely slippery. Like if there is a little bit of rain, like your foot goes sliding. So just be careful with that.
Okay. Any rain forecast and I'm not wearing them. And in a way, I hope there's a bit of rain because I run best when it's cooler, just not heat and not wind. Okay, so you're based in Johannesburg. It's where I started running, where I lived for the bulk years of my life. It's hot, it's hilly, it's high altitude. I mean, being based in London now for the last 8 years, a lot of people sort of travel far and wide to get those conditions, even though it's so much tougher for training. You very rarely hit really good leg speed as you would in a flat international race. But I mean, at the same time, it's so beneficial for training. You're producing, you know, those key red blood cells at high altitude. You're working very hard. What's it like training in Joburg for you at your level? And do you sort of go off and do training camps, or is it, you know, suited and perfect and ideal for the training that you need?
So at the moment, I don't do any training camps. It's pretty much suited, like, and ideal for what I need. I do lots of easy runs just around the area. I do the local road races, find some hilly ones, which is good, like strength, endurance in your training. And I stay quite close to the UJ track. So I do a lot of my track sessions there at the Tartan set. Most of my support system is here. Like my boyfriend's here, my mom and sister are here. I have really good medical team here. So Joburg is like, it's just ideal for me. My coach is based in Pretoria, which is 40 minutes to an hour away. And I think that's only downside. So I see him once or twice a month. And because he's based that side and I don't have too many people doing the same training as me in Joburg, I think the only downside is I do a lot of my training by myself. But I kind of try to see the positive of it. In a marathon, there are going to be parts where you're lonely and you're running by yourself and you've got to get used to that and like embrace it. So when I do it, that part in a race, I'm like, hey, I run by myself most days. I can do this today.
For sure. For sure. I think, look, if you look at the big groups, you know, in Kenya and Ethiopia and the world's best there, they're training in big groups and in big circles. And I think it definitely helps. But at the same time, I mean, I do probably 95% of my training by myself. And I noticed, like, obviously it is mentally tough and sometimes it's harder to hit paces, but it makes you so much stronger. So come race day, when there's groups and packs to work with, it's like such a bonus. You're like, okay, cool. You know, this feels a whole lot easier. No, but that's awesome. And I think, you know what's like, you know, training in Joburg, don't underestimate just how beneficial it actually is. Us based in the UK, I plan about 2 training camps a year for Best Athletics and the team. And I think we're always looking for a high altitude option, and Dalstrom's probably a really good one on the cards because it's just, you know, beautiful. And I want to showcase a bit of where I'm from the team, and Dalstrom, it's got its good roots. And I think I'm seeing more and more elites go and train there. So clearly there's some really good roots. Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll let you know when we're coming along and you'll have to join for a little bit.
Yeah,
that'll be good. So being a like obviously super fast South African marathon roadrunner, there's a lot of hype around Two Oceans and specifically Comrades. Like, you know, the ultra scene in South Africa is huge compared to it globally. Are you ever tempted one day to sort of kick it up and enter the ultra world and, you know, smash the Two Oceans or Comrades?
Yes, definitely. Not anytime soon, but I think, like we've seen, especially with my jump from half marathon to marathon, that I'm just naturally built for like the longer distances. And I think I really could do well for Two Oceans or Comrades, but I'm not quite ready for that yet. I really want to get my time down first and give that my best shot and then move up at a later stage. But it's definitely on the cards.
Cool. No, you got your priorities right there, in my view. I mean, you know, you've got a few more good years of fast road marathon running. So smash it out, sort of get to where you can, and then you can almost kick it up. I'm in a similar position where I ran Comrades in my early years, and I'm going to make a return to Comrades. But I feel like, you know, while I'm targeting these fast international road marathons, like, let's go with it for now, and I can kick it up at a later stage. But I think from people who watch those races in the past, and I mean, even Khad herself is probably like, you know, going to enjoy some real good competition, because seeing her smashing, you know, the records there has been incredible, but there hasn't really been too much competition for her. So, you know, it'll be cool to see, you know, you and others really step it up into that longer distance, but only once you've finished in the marathon distance.
That South African culture is so ultra distance driven. And sometimes it's a little bit frustrating because you're like, fast times are good too. Like, get your half marathon time down, get your marathon time down. But I think the Comrades and stuff does so much for the community of the running in South Africa. Like, it just gets so much, many more people into the sport. And it's amazing to see that side of it as well.
Exactly. Do you know what? In my early years of running, I did my first Comrades at 24, 25, 26. And it was sort of what you did. Like, you ran, and then it was like, naturally you do Comrades. And it seemed like the normal thing to do. And then you move overseas and you realize how completely not normal it is to do. But yeah, you know, there is a whole lot of hype. But I think with the addition of Cape Town Marathon now, and in its, you know, more recent years gaining more and more hype, I think there's a lot more focus on, you know, good fast road runners targeting sort of Cape Town Marathon. So yeah, it'll always be there. Don't rush. Okay, cool. It's been amazing to chat to you. Finally, we just want to know what's next on the cards. It sounds like you've had a crazy debut year of marathons. How many are you planning in doing in total this year, out of interest? What's next, and how many are you planning on full sending?
So I might do 2 more marathons this year. which is quite a lot, especially in my first year, but we're handling quite well. I think with my setback as well, we saw those 5 weeks off as like first rest. So I'm feeling fresh and I'm like ready to go in training again. I'm feeling really good. So yeah, I have two more marathons possibly this year, like big hard ones. We'll see how they go. And maybe I'll do a few others as training. But next is I'm doing SA Cross Country Champs next weekend, which I'm quite excited for. I haven't been at a SA Cross Country Champs in 2 years. So that's kind of where my heart is. Like I grew up in cross country as a kid. So I'm really excited for that. And then, yeah, a few half marathons. I'll do Gun Run and then just take it from there. Marathon in October and end of the year.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, cool. So not too much recovery after the Olympics, but if you're firing on all cylinders, like live life and let's go for it. So if you're doing, we're basically at the start of September, let's say, and you're doing a full send in October and then potentially a full send towards the end of the year. So how many all-out marathons would that be for you in 1 year?
It would be Seville, Durban, Olympics, and then like five.
Okay, cool. Just checking, because I know obviously like Kipchoge showed us the way and he did two, and it was kind of like when we were all watching him, we thought, you know, you could only peak at two, but if you can peak at five, show us the way. And you know, it's really, it's obviously a testament to you and your coach, the way you're getting your recovery right in between, even though your feet were taken out of you and you're out of action for so long, you're still doing five full marathon sends in a year, which is incredible. So obviously, you know, you're on top of your strength and conditioning, nutrition, recovery, all that good stuff. Cool. But yeah, Sean, it was amazing to catch up with you. Congrats once again. You're obviously flying in one direction. And yeah, like I said, 225.08, 70.08. For me, it's 220.08. So let's go out and find 9 more seconds and a whole lot more after that. But we wish you all the best. And runners can catch you on Instagram. I'm sure you'll announce your upcoming races and stuff soon on there.
Yeah, they can do. And yeah, good luck for Berlin. I have a good feeling you're going to go under your 220.
Cool. Thank you so much. If I'm fully focused on it, but if I don't, then there's a chance that I might see you at a race towards the end of the year, but we'll cross that bridge at a later stage. So
yeah, cool. I think, as you said, like marathons are a learning curve. You just got to take it for what it is, and you just got to embrace like what you get out of it.
For sure. For sure. Great to catch up, and all the best for training ahead. Okay.
Thanks so much, Nick.